the church that didn't deny the Lord's name and kept His word. And just, I mean, probably there was a time, as such, I mean, just the volume of wonderful spiritual hymns that were produced in that era. And it resonates with us. How come it doesn't with contemporary Christianity?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Why can't, you know, here's the problem. Here's the whole thing, brother. I mean, if someone says, well, you know, this other stuff, well, but why can't this, why do you have a problem with this?
Yeah.
Why do you have a problem with this? Loaded, which is doctrine and truth and just,
amen.
God. And you know, some brethren, I was just thinking about it. I mean, brethren, always remember that heritage has been left to us by those martyrs that went on before. And no matter what thoughts may enter your mind, remember the victory you've got in the Lord. We're more than conquerors, and the grace He promised, no matter what you would face, the grace He promised for every situation. If you get to think, well, what if this was to happen? You're not faced with it yet. Don't sweat it. Rest upon the fact He promised grace when it's needed. Amen, brethren. Take your Bibles tonight. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. Oh, it's so good to be with y'all.
Proverbs 30. Thank you, brother. Proverbs 30, and we're going to pick up tonight at verse number 18. Proverbs 30 and verse number 18. My fault. That was a real talented bird. Proverbs 30, verse 18. God bless you, Hannah.
Amen.
It's a blessing, sweetie. Amen. Proverbs 30, verse 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Help us now. Instruct us, guide us, and direct us. We bless your precious and holy name, Lord. Bless you, Father. Teach us and help us tonight. We pray, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all can be seated. Okay. Proverbs 30, verse 18 and 19. There be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four, which I know not. And then the first one mentioned is the way of an eagle in the air. Okay, let's define some things. Let's define the word wonderful. Because the writer here says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me. Too wonderful. And the word wonderful in the dictionary means adapted to excite wonder or admiration. It means strange, astonishing. You know, Brother Murphy sent out, Brother Kevin sent out this thing about those birds of paradise in New Guinea. Man, there's a lot of things, you know, that you get sent and you'll look at, you know, and you appreciate and pass on. Man, I got that thing kept, man. That thing just blows my mind. Those different species of birds of paradise. What a God. What a God. I go and look at that and I'm just like, oh my. I mean, he just, one day, there it is. With the color and the way they do, and it's just like, whoa. And inspiring, right? Kind of the way they'll hood themselves open and throw themselves back, and it's like they're worshiping the Lord. Wow. What a God. I'm telling you, brother. Don't lose, and if you lose it, regain it, the wonder and the awe of God's handiwork. Don't get so busy that you fail to see the wonder around you of the handiwork of God. I mean, everything that just God's made that just glorifies the Creator. I mean, what a sad state of affairs to really think that chance produced that. That's insanity. It's insanity. What a God. To design those different things and the intricacies, and just absolutely amazing. Don't lose the wonder of it all. The writer here says, there'll be three things which are too wonderful for me. He says, yea, four which I know not. The word know in the dictionary means to understand clearly. Again, never lose the wonder of God's handiwork. Don't let dry, prideful pseudoscience rob you of it. Don't let it happen. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Stay young in your mind, man. Stay young in your mind and in your heart to where you never lose the wow of it all. Don't allow this world to jade you and make you cynical, make you hard. Man, let God keep you tender and to where you never lose that childlike wonder of the handiwork of God. No matter what anybody thinks of you. Keep you young. Keep you alive. Don't lose it. Don't ever get to the place you're just like, ho-hum. Man, no, don't ever lose it. If you have, ask God to help you regain it. Just the wonder of it all and God's handiwork in creation. And brother, we ain't seen nothing yet. When the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, she said, the half hadn't been told. I think I saw something the other day. There's a dwarf star or something out there that they say now, the whole thing is a diamond. Basically, it's like the whole thing is a diamond. That's just what a God. Psalm 28, verse 1. Psalm 28, verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me. Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands according to thy holy oracle. Draw me not away. Draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds. According to the wickedness of their endeavors, given after the work of their hands, render to them their deserts. Verse 5, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands, He shall destroy them and not build them up. Look, regarding not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of His hands. See, brethren, look here. One of the things that will keep you living for God, one of the things that will help keep you living for God, that'll help keep a sense of holiness in your life, is to look around and behold God's handiwork. That'll have an humbling effect on you. You understand me? I'm telling you, brethren, one very wise brother in the Lord made the statement. He said, look, if you can, spend as much time as you can outside. He said, most sins committed indoors. Now, I mean, and granted, that's where most people, but if you think about it, he said, look, I mean, outside, you behold the handiwork of God, you're seeing all the wonder of it. I'm telling you, brother, from the time I was a kid, I noticed as a child, whenever I would go and just look out, I would get this sense of my smallness, God's greatness, and I wanted to run and hide somewhere. I was like, Lord, you're there. And it's good. It gets you in that right frame of mind. It gets things oriented right. I remember when I was a kid, camping out. And even some of the boys camping out with didn't know the Lord. But you know what? I can remember we would be out camping out, and toward the middle of the night, you're sitting up there, and sooner or later, you know what you start talking about? God. God. You couldn't, listen, so often you couldn't sit there and start looking at those stars and look at everything and not get your mind on your Creator. Brethren, there's something about it. Listen, there's something about regarding the wonders of God that'll keep you in the right frame of mind and help to produce holiness in your mind. Look at His handiwork. Look at His Word. But you know what? That's what the devil, so what does the devil try to do? He always tries to steal your attention. I've said it before. Instead of looking at God's stars, the devil tries to get you inside the house looking at His stars. Really. You know, there is no doubt, no coincidence that lo and behold, in the Bible, angels are typified by stars. Stars typify and symbolize angels. Lo and behold, don't you know it, that out there in Los Angeles, which Los Angeles means the angels, is where Hollywood's at, where the stars are at. Now, that don't just happen. But those are the wrong stars. Those are the wrong ones. The ones God wants you to see, brethren, are just out there, His handiwork, His wonders. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. That's you and me, you know, too. That's you and us. Spiritually, He's done that for us. And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Amen, brethren. He's done that for you and me. Done it today, I bet you. Amen. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God. By the way, what they rebel against, you need to, really, it would probably do you well to underline words right there. Because, brethren, theological understanding today, many will tell you today that, well, it's the message of God. It's the basic. No. The words of God. So that's the reason a lot of these guys, these false Bibles don't mean anything to them, because they're like, well, you know, the message. No, God's concerned not just about His Word, but His words. His words. It didn't say just the message. It said His words. His words. So the devil wants to mess with not just the message, not just the Word of God, but the words of God. And that's why these other Bibles leave out words. Or add words. They mess with it. Listen, brethren, it is the Word. Because they rebelled against what? The message? No! Against the Word? No, against the words of God. That's what got great-grandma Eve in trouble. The words. She added to and took away from the words. Not the general idea, not the message, the words. Eve added to, Eve took away from the words. Look at the mess we're in today. Because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. I mean, Sister Michelle can relate to that. I mean, really, seriously. If she didn't fall all the way down today, but just imagine if there was nobody out there to help. Imagine if little Shelby was trying to get her up. It would have been a mess out there. Verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. If you're saved, it's what He's done for you. He's done that for you. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. What a God, huh? What a God. Fools cry out to Him because they've got themselves in a mess, but yet they cry to the Lord, and what does He do? Bless His name. He saveth them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His work with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships. Amen, Navy guys. No doubt. That do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Man, if I was on one of them ships, I'd be sick as a dog. You know, but if I could handle it, I could just imagine the wonder. I would have thought what it would be like out there at nighttime with the stars and it's just what a thing. At least it says, for verse 25, for He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to their depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waters thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto the desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works of the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground. A fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Listen, is that a wise person, what they'll do, they will observe. You need to observe. And just about everything you do, you need to take and say, Lord, teach me something of this. Show me something here, Lord. Let me see something. Observe. Real quick, Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. All right. So I just read those things just to kind of set the tone for us right here. Proverbs 30, verse 18, the writer says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four which I know not. Well, what does he mean? They're too wonderful. He doesn't know them. Well, what he's saying is there are four things that he's going to speak of that are hard to grasp and comprehend, yet are no less wonderful in their mystery and are to be admired, listen, for their graceful, seemingly effortless motion. Keep that in mind. Now we're going to take them one by one. But we'll look at verse 19. There's a common thread here. The way of an eagle in the air. The way of a serpent upon a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. The way of a man with a maid. Those things are full of wonder. Because notice, in each one of them, they seem effortless. They seem just to be so natural and effortless. And so, I mean, just is. There's just a way to them. There's just a way. There's just a way to it that just comes with, that's just natural there. There are four things. They're hard to grasp and comprehend. Yet, even though they're hard to grasp and comprehend, they're no less wonderful in their mystery. And they're to be admired for their graceful, seemingly effortless motion. And we're going to look at one of them tonight. That eagle there. A man with a maid. I was doing a wedding one time in North Carolina, and there was an elderly gentleman there. It was his granddaughter who was getting married. And he was sitting there crying. And I went up to him, I said, Mr. So and so, okay? He goes, he's an older gentleman. He goes, young love is beautiful. Love's beautiful. I'm telling you, it's all beautiful. But he was looking at it, you know, and he was just seeing that fresh young couple start, you know, and he was like, man, young love is just, you know, it's just, he was looking at it and he was admiring it. Because there's a grace to it. There's a wonder to it. There's something to it, you know. And the writer here is the same way. It amazed him. It was just wonders to him, you know, the way of a man with a maid. The way of an eagle. But the one we're going to look at tonight, the one that's wonder, he's just like, wow. The way of an eagle in the air. Notice the way of an eagle how? In the air. In the air. Okay. An eagle in the air. An eagle in the air. Doesn't flap, flop, squawk, or expend great effort. He soars. Seemingly in defiance of nature. That's the wonder. See, when you see a bird pulling one of them deals, you're like, okay, he's working at it. You know, he's squawking, he's working at it, he's trying to get something stirred up here, you know. But when you see that one, you can tell me you ain't ever going like, wow. I remember going down 52 toward Goose Creek one time, and my window was down, and no kidding, man. I mean, here I am going down 52, and right across there, just keeping right up, was a bald eagle. Maybe he thought I was Ken. I don't know. But he was just keeping up, right? And I was going, oh my. I guess he had caught a current because he was just moving right along. I was like, wow. Wow. That's something. And you've watched them, right? They'll just soar. when I just come, you know, just, and it's like, and the thing with this, what's the wondrous about it, you can see if something's flapping. They're not. They're just riding it. And what they're riding, that's taking them highs and taking them around, you can't see it. What they're riding on, you can't see it. You can't see it. Okay, so let's look at it. First off, the first thing I want to look at is the eagle gets up high. That's the first key. She gets up high. She makes her nest on high. Go to Job 39. Job 39. You know, Benjamin Franklin was a smart man. I mean, he really was. He was a smart man. He developed the postal system. He, you know, did all kinds of things. He's a smart man. But, you know, all men have their glitches, you know. And, you know, he did not like the idea of the eagle. He wanted a turkey. He wanted our national bird to be a turkey. Old Ben had some good ideas, but he boogered that one up now. That would have been bad. I'm glad there was somebody that said, they probably looked at him like, yeah. Okay, gotcha. Here comes the turkeys. I mean, come. Not good. That eagle, when it soars and it does, look here. Job 39. That's another thing. Told those birds of paradise. Look at that eagle, man. Look at that joker's profile. Got that hooded, you know, just turn that head. Woo! Don't that inspire you, man? Sometimes you look at that thing, look like, oh my, look at that. Gracious! I've looked at those eagles, man, I'm like, man. Because see, my God imparted something there. See, my God imparted something He wants us to notice. That regalness, you know, and that attitude. Well, that speaks something, you know. Man, those heavenly creatures in heaven, the face of a lion. Can you imagine something that's got wings, body like a man, and face like a lion, face like an eagle? Whoa! Man! Nobody can inspire like God.
Right.
Nobody can inspire. Nobody can illustrate something. Nobody can get you. And that eagle, you know, that it's hooded there and it cocks that head and looks around, you know, just kind of. You ever seen an eagle when it go that dive and kind of get cockeyed like that and go after its prey? That's tough. That's all there's to it. Our Lord meant it to be tough. You know what I'm saying? He don't come around straight. He just kind of curve that thing like that. Ooh, that's tough. That's just tough, man. That's just good. That's just inspiring. Lord meant for to stir you with things like that. He made those things like that. Lord, what a God! Got a sense of humor. Man, that monkey, big proboscis, man, that big proboscis monkey. Most ridiculous, you know, that thing's just, you look at it and laugh, man. You're like, look at that! Thing's just funny! You know? I mean, what a God! What a God! Make animals like that? Yeah? Make some of them monkeys, you know, that like, you've got to be kidding me. They just make you laugh. They're funny. And make you something that just inspires you, you know, just, what a God. Look here. Job 39, verse 27. Doth the eagle mount up? I mean, by the way, the Lord is calling Job on the carpet and saying, Job, come here. Job, I'm going to ask you some questions. You answer me. And Job had to take it. And the Lord said, look at this. Verse 27. Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest? Where does she make her nest? On high? See, if the eagle, now listen, if she's going to soar, folks, she's got to get up on high. Take your Bible, go to Jeremiah 49. Jeremiah 49. If the eagle is going to soar and not flop and flap and squawk, I mean, which one's more inspiring, brethren? Which one's more inspiring? Some bird that's out there just, you know, trying to flap and flop and squawk, or that eagle? That majestic eagle, you know, or that look like that, soaring. Which one? Man, come on! I'd rather be like an eagle. I'd rather be like that. But you got to get up on high. You got to quit your low living. You got to get up on high if you're going to soar. Some of you want to soar, but you're keeping yourself down low. You're a saint of God and you want to soar. You want to soar. You want to soar like some saints of God you've read about, but you are low living. You're keeping yourself low. You got to get up high. Jeremiah 49, verse 16. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee in the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, that holdest the height of the hill. Though thou shouldest make thy nest, here it is again, as high as the eagle. I will bring thee down from thence, saith the Lord. Again, that eagle dwells high. Let me ask you something. Are you dwelling high or low? Are you dwelling high or low? Where do you make your nest? Bible says the eagle makes her nest on high. Do you make your nest on heavenly spiritual things or on base earthly things? Where are you dwelling? Where are you dwelling, brethren? Answer it. Don't tell me. You and God. Where are you dwelling? In your home, in your reading, in your listening, in your viewing. Where are you dwelling? If you are dwelling around base, I'm not even talking about sinful, wrong stuff. I'm just talking about if you're dwelling on base things of this life, the affairs and the cares, you are just going, what you going to do? You have to spend all this energy trying to make some progress. You ain't going to soar. You got to get up high. You got to get up high. Take your Bible, go to Colossians 3. You got to get up high. That's why some of the saints are so wore out. All the time trying to get it off the ground. You got to make your nest on high. Hey, your nest, is it on high or low? On base earthly things, worldly things? See, man, if you're saved, get out of this mess about, well, it ain't wrong. You're supposed to be beyond that. As a child of God, you're supposed to be on merely, is it right or wrong? You're supposed to move into the level of expediency. Is it best? For the saint of God, no, it needs to matter. No, we be on. We need to be on that thing of, well, ain't nothing wrong with it. Hey, but is it best? Is it what God would have you to do right now? Is it really helping you to soar? Is it really helping you to get closer to God? It ain't sin. Got you. Fine. You ain't gonna soar. Go ahead, stay with that mindset. Got you. You ain't gonna soar. Not as long as you go in that route with it. Look here. Not only is it okay, should it be not a sin, is it expedient? Is it the best thing? And that's a walk with God. You can only get that with a walk with God. You know what I'm talking about. It's in times that, look here, your flesh says, well, this ain't wrong what I'm looking at or reading. It ain't sin. But the Holy Ghost says, but it ain't getting you close to me. It's getting you down. It's getting you discouraged. It's getting you with a depressed spirit. It's not lightening your load. It's not edifying you. It's not producing joy. And sometimes you got to hang your head and say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's true, Lord. Do you understand, brethren? Brethren, the saints of, we are the saints of God. I'm talking about all saints are letting God down. We're misrepresenting the Lord. We're getting the same dejected, depressed, despondent attitudes. It doesn't have to be. What are you filling yourself with? Stuff that hadn't happened, may not happen. Even if it does happen, what are you going to do? Man, spend some time around the things of God. Man, did you know something? If you spent your time trying to read your Bible, doing your job, come home, outside, do what you can, look at the hand of the Lord God, go to bed, tired, and just spend some time. You know, there's so many things you put yourself around, and it just saps the spiritual strength from you. And you're just, wow. Brother, I want to tell you something. Unless the Lord tells me to at times, and sometimes I say, so often when I get stuff about, you know what? They're taking this right away. They're just, I'm just telling you, brethren, I go, delete. Listen to me. That's irresponsible. When's the last time you prayed for your president? When's the last time you prayed for your governor? When's the last time you prayed for Sheriff Wayne DeWitt? Hey, I'm serious. It's funny. Some of the brethren say, well, you know, you need to be informed, but they ain't doing what the Bible said to do. Praying for those in leadership. Brethren, by God's grace, I know my battle. You understand? But I know my battle. And you need to know your battle. And the change we can bring about to this world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be careful. I'm not saying that you don't look at things that, you know, and there can be a place for knowing the things are going on. But make sure it's not. Here's the litmus test. Does it leave you? Does it leave you nervous? Does it leave you looking over your shoulder? Does it produce fear? If it's not something that can be used for God, if it doesn't help edify, I'd be careful of it. I'd be careful. Now, brethren, I'm telling you the truth. And it's going on all over. This brother called me up yesterday. He goes, man, Brother Dawson, he goes, it is getting dark. He goes, the churches are getting dark, man. Look here, brethren, well, I hope not, but it don't mean this one's got to be that way. No, sir. I told the Lord the other day, Lord, I want this church to turn this area on its head. I don't care if we're in a latest sin age. This does not have to be a latest sin church. It does not. We can go out here right. Look here. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. An eagle dwells on high. No low dwelling, brethren. You've got to dwell on high. Make your nest on high. Heavenly things. Listen, take your Bible to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 19. Philippians 3, verse 19. Or verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. Look at this. Who mind what? Earthly things. Dwelling low, brethren. Dwelling low. They ain't getting off the ground. They ain't getting off the ground. Man, that eagle gets up there and she just soars. Man, she's just up there. But not this crowd because they're minding earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like in His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Brethren, I ain't talking to you, but I'm just saying, look, when the Lord says, when the Lord says to you by the Holy Ghost, and says, you know what, come on now, preacher was right on that thing, this thing ain't doing you no good, it's robbing your joy, leave it alone, just obey Him. Just obey Him, just mind Him. 1 John 2. See, look here, if you go out of here trying to own your own, say, okay, I'm not going to look at this, I'm not going to look at that. No, man, I didn't tell you that. Somebody may send you something, the Lord say, hey, you know, you can, this is, use it for research purposes, or this is something, that's fine. I'm just saying, if the Holy Ghost reminds you of this principle we're talking about, just listen to Him. Use it as a litmus test. Is it robbing you joy? Is it making you fearful? Is it making you apprehensive? Is it making you anxious? You don't need it. Look here, 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So look here. That eagle to soar, she's got to get up high. Well, once she gets up high, she got to spread her wings. She got to spread her wings. She got to unfold them. She got to spread them wings. Take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Bear with me tonight, brethren. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, won't you look at verse 11? Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. What's she got to do? Well, if she's going to soar, she's got to spread her wings. You see, listen, she's got to be ready when the thermals rise to bear her aloft. See, listen. And we'll get more on this in just a minute. But that eagle, when she's up on high, again, she's waiting for them thermals. She's waiting for the sun to heat up the earth and them air currents to start rising. And them air currents start rising. But listen, she's got to be ready. She's got to spread them wings. She's got to spread them wings to catch it so she can soar. Here's what I'm asking you. Are you preparing yourself for when opportunity arises? Are you prepared? plan yourself so that you're ready when opportunity arises. In other words, here's what I'm saying, gentlemen and ladies, all listen, are you studying, reading your Bible, just being faithful, doing the best you can so that when opportunity arises, you're ready. You're ready. So look here, the devil right now, if you're saved, the devil wants to chain you down right now. By financially, spiritually, study. He wants to chain you down so that the opportunity presents itself, you're not ready. See, don't try to take and say, well, for what? You don't know what. Just be ready. You know what? The Bible says the Lord Joshua appointed 12 men. I don't think he even told them what for. He just appointed 12 men for a task to get those stones when they came through Jordan. They were prepared. They would be ready. You should be ready. You should be ready. Never stop. I don't care if God, listen, if God spends a lifetime preparing you for 5 minutes, that's His business. That's His business. You just be ready. Be preparing yourself when opportunity arises. Go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Got to look at a couple of scriptures here. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Stay in the book. Stay in the book. Make it a lifetime habit. Just read and study, study and read. Of course, my time's going to be a little bit more than yours, of course. Don't compare yourself to somebody else's. Just the timetable you've got. The opportunity you have. Just take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. You know, the Lord's always trying to help us out, brethren, if we can only take the hints. Amen. Now, there's times I feel like the Lord has just nudged me and said, wake up. Wake up, get on up. And I found when I take advantage of it, I'm glad I did because something was coming up I didn't know about, but the Lord knew. You see what I'm saying? I've told her before in the past. I said, you know what? Seems like I've had a lot of extra. At times in my life, I remember the times I've told her, you know, seems like I've had a little extra time to study here, get ahead on some things, and it's almost like, you know, sure enough, something's coming up. Something's coming up at times to tax the time, whatever, and God sees that. Take the nudge when He gives it to you. Look here, go to 2 Chronicles 12. 2 Chronicles 12. Verse 14. Talking about Rehoboam. And look what it says, 2 Chronicles 12:14. And he did evil. Why? Why did he do evil? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You got to make preparation. Brother, listen, I love you. And I know how the flesh wants to do. And I'm not saying this to break you back with something. I'm not. I want to be a help. But brother, if we want to meet with God, say on Sunday morning, you got to prepare. You got to prepare. And you need to start Saturday night and say, Lord, meet with us tomorrow. Father, drive away distractions. Help us to get ready, Lord. Send out to the services those who need to be out. Lord, if there's anybody who don't need to be out, keep away distractions. Lord, just keep the enemy at bay. Prepare. Get your mind ready Saturday night. Get your mind ready. Thinking on, you know, prepare. Prepare. Say, look, get the attitude of, I'm coming to meet with God. I'm coming to with my brethren to meet with the Lord. And prepare yourself. Go to 2 Chronicles 19. verse 3. Concerning Jehoshaphat. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. He prepared his heart. He took some measures. He took some steps. He showed God he was serious. He prepared his heart to seek God. Go to Ezra 7. Ezra 7. That eagle, she's dwelling on high, but she's got to spread them wings. She's got to be ready when those thermals do rise. Listen, them thermals ain't around in the morning. The land ain't heated up yet. So there's not the big updraft in the morning. She got to be ready. when they are there. And you got to be ready. You got to be ready. You got to be ready for when the Lord says, now. Just always a state of preparedness. Always a state of readiness. Just, you say, what do I do, preacher? Read and study. Read, study, pray. Study, pray, read. Pray, read, study. Just steady. 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 Look here. Ezra 7, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Go ahead, Ezra. Yes, sir, Ezra. I salute you. Not just to seek it, to do it. He had his mind made up. He just wasn't going to seek the law of the Lord, know what it said. He was going to do it. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He was going to learn it. He's going to do it. And he's going to teach others. Amen. There you go. Real quick, go to Psalm 10. Psalm 10. This is what will help prepare you. Psalm 10, verse 17. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. Look at that. Now here the Lord prepares their heart. What was the condition? Humility. Amen. God, I'm sure God can prepare my heart better than I can. But what was the condition met? Humility. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of who? The humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Whose heart will he prepare? Whose heart will God prepare? The humble. That one with humility. Amen, brethren. That, hey, humility. Humility. And real quickly, 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. A state of readiness, brethren. A state of readiness. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Those, Timothy, look, if you purge yourself from some things you shouldn't be around and shouldn't be partaking of, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. You'll be prepared. You'll be ready and prepared for whatever God's got in store. Brother, listen, the word prepare in the dictionary means to fit, to adapt or qualify for a particular purpose, end, use, service, or state, to make ready. Just like our sign back there says, plow or altar, ready for either. Be ready. Be ready. One fellow says, saying to God, I'll be ready to witness, testify, pray, sing, die at any moment. A saying to God, I'll be ready to pray at any moment, witness at any moment, sing at any moment, and die at any moment. A state of readiness. That's why it got Israel in trouble in 1973, the Yom Kippur War. They got a little cocky after the whooping they'd put on their body in 1967, and they got slack and they were not ready. And they got pushed to the brink. Now God turned it around and they ended up almost going to Cairo, but it was nip and tuck for a while. Why? They forgot to stay in a state of preparedness, a state of readiness. As a believer, in the war you're in, you can never afford that. Be always ready. And then finally, look, after she's made her nest on high, after she's spread her wings, then it's time. Hey, it's time to wait. Man, it is. It's time to wait. It ain't time to soar yet. It's time to wait. Her nest's on high. She spread her wings. But it ain't time to step out yet. She's on that. Can't you see her? I can see her. I can see her. She's up on that craggy rock. She's high, buddy. She's high. And she's got her young. She's made her nest up there. And she's up there, you know. And she's ready. But those thermals aren't there yet, buddy. Now when they are, you know what she's going to do? She's going to step out. Just going to step out, and here she goes. She's got to wait. She's got to wait. Take your Bible, Isaiah 40. I'm ready, Brother Doss. I'm glad you are. The Lord's just not ready yet. The Lord's not ready for you yet. You stay ready. You stay ready. A lot of times we think we're ready. We're not. Moses thought he was ready. But he wasn't. Ain't that wild, man? Ain't that wild? Yet when God knows he is ready, he thinks he ain't. Wild how that thing works. That's what's hurting us today. I won't stay on this. I won't stay on this. But that's how it's hurting us. Many a young man thinks he's ready. He goes to a Bible institute, a Bible class. He thinks, I'm ready. Well, I might go to the mission field. Oh, you might, really. Is that what you go? I go, yes, you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. I might do this. I might do this. Man alive. He thinks he's ready. You can maintain a constant state of readiness till the day you die. You don't ever stop. And when God's ready for whatever He wants in your life, you can step out and soar. Isaiah 40, look at verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You see, the eagle waits. Listen, the eagle waits. Listen to me. I'm just about done. Listen to me. The eagle waits for that which can't be seen. She waits for that which can't be seen. You can't see those thermal updrafts. They're there to bear her up and carry her to heights and destinations that's going to, no effort of her own, she just rides them. You can't see it. That's why it's a wonder. The way of an eagle in the air. Such a wonder. Two things too wonderful for me. Listen. It may seem like she is lazy or foolish. You know, Lord helps those that help themselves. I understand some of that, but listen to me. You know, it's like, what are you doing? You need to do something, Miss Eagle. You know, work your wings here. What are you waiting on? She just waits. But she just waits, and then she steps out, and she soars. You will be misunderstood. You will be misunderstood. Look at Martha. Misunderstood by her sister Mary, by the disciples. You will be misunderstood. You will have to take a step of faith without your effort and trust God to support you by invisible, though powerful, means. Not by force that you generate by your own effort. That's why we had in the past these heroes of the faith that soared. And that's how why we have today, I'm afraid, men flapping and squawking and flopping and generating their own effort and not soaring to the heights that those men of old did. I say that because I believe it's the truth. Not in an arrogant manner, not in a self-righteous manner. I say it in a fearful manner. But I can't deny what I believe the principle here is. Stepping out by faith without your effort and trust God to support you by invisible though powerful means. Not by force that you generate by your own efforts. Soaring is said to use less energy. Wearing herself out, man. She's just soaring. And it produces a sight. It produces a sight that glorifies God and is marvelous to behold by others. Brethren, there are men that have soared. Men have soared. I believe that's what the Lord wants us to do. It's a wonderful thing to behold. It's a wonderful thing for the eagle. It's a wonderful thing for those who behold the eagle. But you're going to have to dwell on high. You're going to have to dwell on high. You're going to have to prepare yourself. She's got to dwell on high, spread those wings, and there's going to have to be some waiting at times. Those invisible currents start coming up. And then Miss Eagle got to step out in faith. She got to step out. Man, what if she's wrong? What if she's wrong? But she's waited, and she knows. She's not going to plummet like a rock. She's not going to have to stand up and go, no, she's just going to soar. And what a sight it'll be to behold. Same thing for us, brethren. The Lord gives us these things. Isaiah 40 tells us that you and I can soar too. We can soar to new heights. We can experience things with the Lord that we've not before and bring honor and glory to God. But if we're going to do it, if we want to soar like an eagle, we've got to at least have these basic things down that the eagle does also. And then our life could be a wonder to behold also. Father, Lord, I would pray that my life, the life of every individual in this church and this church as a whole, Lord, I pray we would, Lord, honestly, I would love to see that in our lives. Lord, I would love for us to be a wonder to behold. Lord, not for us. You know what I mean, Lord. You know what I mean, Father. You do. Lord, that it glorify you. That you would be glorified. The Creator. But Father, help us to realize that if there's not some things we don't do, we're never going to soar like that. So help us, Lord, to take, understand it, and make application as you would so direct. I ask these things, Father, according to thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.